presentation is based on a field research. We investigated in details on arsenic chemistry or behavior in agricultural evaporation basin facilities. The co-author is Dr. Ji Hun Yu, who was a postdoc at that time participating in this project. And particularly, I would like to dedicate this presentation to Professor Ken Tanji, and who served as a project investigator. And he passed away unexpectedly 2 months ago on September 7th from aggressive pneumonia. Well, this came as a shock to many of us who knew him, and because he was a very kind and a very dedicated professional and to teaching and training of his students, and also to research and mainly society and professional services. So this is in memory of him. Okay, California. This is Central Valley, stretching about 450 miles from the north to the south. It's the heart of the state. It's a very highly agricultural productive area. The climate is from semi-arid to arid. That means very little rain, almost no rain during summer growing season. So agriculture is basically depend on irrigation. It is said that over 65% of the fruits and vegetables in U.S. is produced from irrigated agriculture, and actually over 50% is from California. And the Central Valley can divide it into two valleys. The northern part is the Sacramento Valley. The southern part is the San Joaquin Valley from the San Joaquin River run through the valley. There are a number of challenges for agriculture in this region. Firstly, there's a high selenium concentration in the soils that derived from the west coastal range. And secondly, a large area of the land had a low perched water table. And thirdly, in the south end, it is hydrologically closed to Lower Basin. That means there's no natural drainage outlet. And all of this require proper management of drainage, and which also has a number of environmental concerns, such as the selenium in the drainage water. It goes wherever the drainage water goes. So the selenium toxicity was found in the early 1980s due to drainage disposal to a Keystone Reservoir, and since then it has been continued to be a challenge. And currently drainage water, very small proportion can go to the San Joaquin River, but it's very heavily regulated depending on the contaminant concentrations. And there are small amount of reuse of drainage water at the farmer level. A larger quantity of the drainage water actually goes to engineer made the agricultural evaporation basins, also called evaporation ponds. And there's a continuous concern of selenium in this drainage water, in these ponds to water birds, but currently that's the only economic viable option available. And there are about 28 evaporation basins were constructed between 1972 and 1985. And there's a high cost associated to maintain this system because it regularly requires monitoring and reporting. So by the end of year 2006, a larger number of these basins were actually closed. There are only 8 evaporation basins running right now under 5 operators, but still is with a large total surface covering area about 2,000 hectares. The study location of this research is in the Tulare Basin, in the hydrologic closed Tulare Basin in Tulare Lake Drainage District. Because the focus has been on selenium in the last 20 years, the extensive research has been done, and we have a fair good understanding of the selenium chemistry. But there are a number of other trace elements, including the arsenic, that could be a serious concern in the environment, and we don't have good understanding which form the base of this study. This is the Tulare Lake Drainage District South Evaporation Basin, and we had a three-year project. We invested selenium chemistry and as well as the selenium mass balancing in the system. And during that study, this system is quite large. It has 10 cells. The drainage water flow from one cell to another until the end of the cell. It's about 726 hectares surface area. And at that time, I was just curious about what happened to the arsenic, and I requested some information from people. They said, well, there's no accumulation of arsenic in the system. We didn't find any in the water and in the sediment. I said, well, where it go? So for curiosity, so at that time, I just took us limited samples and did a quick analysis on the arsenic. I found that selenium actually is not increasing along the flow system as EC increases, but arsenic almost shows linearly relationship. And I also did a couple samples with speciation data and found that there are some transformation of arsenic occurring in the system. So based on that, so we initiated a research proposal on examining the more detailed chemistry and the fate of arsenic in these systems for the purpose of better understanding its fate, because this could affect the future option of disposal drainage in this region. It was funded by the UC Saline Drainage Program. So this is a sketch of the system. So it has 10 cells. The drainage water from the TLDD district came through the central pump, and then it was introduced in first cell one, and it flows serially to cell two. If there's more water, they'll go to cell three, four, five, but in recent years, the drainage volume was limited, so these three cells were actually closed. So instead of the water, it just was delivered through cell six, go to seven, and eight, and nine, to the terminal cell 10. Another activity going on in this system, there was actually a company who harvested brine shrimp. The brine shrimp, people know they like to grow in the saline, high saline waters. So because they want to maintain enough water in cell 9 and cell 10, because the evaporation along the process is used by the cell 10, the very limited amount of water there. So in the end, they actually diverted some fresh drainage from the ditch direct to the cell 10. Also, the lower diversion from cell 2 to cell 9. That affects the total concentration sometimes. What we did from, I don't know if I can go back. All right, okay, from March through October 2004, we took samples along the flow path at different locations, and we analyzed the total arsenic as well as detailed speciation, including both the inorganic and organic. And also in the summer, I think in July 2005, we actually went into two cells, cell one, the initial cell receiving the drinking water, and cell nine, the towards the terminal cell. We went inside this cell, we took a number of samples at different locations for the purpose to see if there are special distribution variation. We also took the water near the surface, the top layer, also near the bottom, the bottom layer of the water columns. So in order to do that, because it's 700 acres pond, we had to take a boat. We did the same thing for the cell 9, and because they were harvesting brine shrimp, we had a little larger boat, so which made our sampling relatively easier. On-site measurement included water depth, turbidity, EC, temperature, dissolved oxygen, and the samples were treated for sulfide, iron 2, manganese, and chlorophyll A. We took not only the water samples, we also took several locations for surface sediment samples. Lab analysis including general water chemistry and the total water arsenic concentration as well as the speciation, inorganic arsenic 5, arsenic 3, and organic arsenic mainly as monomethyl arsenic acid and dimethyl arsenic acid. For the sediment, we determined the total. Also, we applied a sequential extraction method to determine soluble adsorbed carbonate, organic matter, and amorphous oxide associated. This is a few figures just illustrating the general chemistry in this evaporation ponds. And because the evaporation was intense, and along the flow path, you see a EC increase. The other index you can use is the evapor concentration factor, which was the chloride concentration, considering it's a conservative element. The ratio of a chloride concentration in the pond water to the chloride concentration from the drinking water inlet. So you can see the cell one has a much lower value at the time to reach towards terminal cell. You can go up 50 in terms of evapor concentration. The major ions, including sodium and sulfate and chloride, that increased almost linear with the EC, but not the bicarbonate and the calcium because of the precipitation of calcium carbonate. This is the total concentration of arsenic and arsenic 3. Along the flow path, we found that both, especially for the arsenic 3, actually linear increase with the EC. That means it's along the flow path. Electron acceptors, including dissolved oxygen and iron 3 and nitrate, they were actually decrease with the EC. That's kind of representing reducing the environment is developed along the flow path. Surprisingly, the dissolved organic carbon had almost a linear increase with the EC. This was very surprising. Dissolved organic carbon now supposed to be a conservative parameter, but it looked like a chloride. So to verify this data, we actually analyzed the samples in a different way. So we titrated, first to get rid of all the inorganic carbon first because of the high alkalinity water. So we get the same result. We also repeated it for the second year, we got the same results. So if there is evidence that dissolved organic carbon actually accumulated along the flow path in the system. Sulfide we analyzed in cell 1, very low sulfide concentration in the water column. In cell 9, only the water near the sediment at the bottom had a higher 11 parts per million concentrations that indicate the sulfidic conditions developed in the cell 9 at the bottom. Because the aerobic conditions in cell 1, the chlorophyll A was very high, so it's obvious growth of algae, but not in cell 9. This arsenic speciation data in water samples along the flow path for the top one is the concentration, the bottom one is the percent of total arsenic. For the central pump, the water came in and also in the cell 1, so dominated by arsenate over 90% with a few percent of arsenite. And arsenide increased through cells 8, 9, and until 10. The highest reached about 20% of arsenite. Organic arsenic and the two compounds we analyzed, we did not find until the water flowed to cell 8. And it increases until the highest one in cell 10. It's about 10 to 15%. The arsenic speciation data within the cell 1 and the cell 9. And it's I would just like to point out that there's a total concentration difference. Cell 9 basically higher than the cell 1. And for the last two columns, that's a percentage of the speciation. But because the large number of samples, so we only did arsenic 3 in the total arsenic analysis. So difference is the arsenic 5 plus organic arsenic due to the time consuming for detecting, for analyzing the organic species. So generally you can see the cell 9 has obvious a higher average arsenide concentration than cell 1, and the bottom in cell 1 actually higher than the top of layer of soil, of the water. Well, this kind of illustrated the special variation of this species. I don't think I will spend time to explain that, but I do want to spend a minute just about the sequential extraction data for sediment arsenic. Paul, that is a busy figure, but the last two columns are the total arsenic, either the sum of these extractions or by digestion. These two methods actually agree within 10%, so we kind of confirm that our extractions went pretty well. We know because this is an operational method, they don't present the absolute value in that solid phase. However, we do this analysis at the same time with the same procedure, so we just want to see the relative difference between the two cells. So generally speaking, cell 9 has a relatively higher soluble and adsorber arsenic than cell 1. Surprisingly, both cells have a higher proportion of carbonate-associated arsenic. This is very different from selenium, which is only like 5% or less. Cell 1 has a relatively higher percentage than cell 9. And the oxide, I want to point out that cell 1 did have a much higher amorphous oxide-associated arsenic than the cell 9. And cell 9 actually had a higher residual percentage arsenic than cell 1. Okay, to summarize a few points, that there's significant development of reducing conditions along the flow path or with the EC. The arsenic concentration increased linearly with salinity in the pond waters. We did find that there are sink mechanisms because there are accumulation of arsenic in the sediment compared to the surrounding or background soils. However, those sink mechanisms are not significant enough to remove a significant amount of arsenic from water columns. So although arsenic toxicity to wildlife has not been reported or evidenced by now, however, the trend of this accumulation of high level of arsenic in this pond may raise a serious concern for the future option of this the water drainage water disposal technology in this region. So finally, knowledge for the funding agency and the support, and I think I'm running out of time. Thank you.